We have come here to this land where the proposed Gurukul will be established. There are several schools and colleges being established outside the city, but our intention is different. Our intention is to teach in the way that Srila Prabhupada wanted to teach. Srila Prabhupada had a great vision. He was unique among acharyas. There's so many acharyas before him. In many ways, Srila Prabhupada was unique. One way in that he was unique is that he wanted to change the whole lifestyle of his followers and of the world. Previous acharyas had not envisaged such a scheme because there was no need to. Previously, all the acharyas, they preached in a situation which was, if not ideal — there's no ideal situation in this material world — but sufficiently supportive of the practice of devotional service. Even at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the situation was not — it was significantly less than ideal. If we say that the ideal is a varnashram society, that also isn't ideal. It's also an arrangement for the material world, which is by definition, by nature, less than ideal. But the varnashram system is the best system for cultivating Krishna consciousness or coming to that level, Daiva Varnashram. But in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, the Varnashram system was going on, but there was a serious kalanka or serious disturbance, let's say serious disturbance, in that the king, whose everything is in the Varnashram system, is routed through the king. That the offerings, the organization, he organizes big — the whole Vedic society is based on yajñas. That is, the king becomes the yajaman, or the one, the organizer and the beneficiary of the yajña on behalf of all the citizens. So the king happened to be a cow-killing Muslim, the ruler of the state. So even in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So even at that time it wasn't ideal. And still it's not ideal. It's getting worse and worse with the progress of Kali Yuga. Day after day, I've been reciting that verse quite a lot recently. Tathas chanu dinam dharma satyam shochang daya shama kalena balina rajan nangshantyayur balang smritihi. With the progress of Kali Yuga, day by day, Shukadev Goswami tells Parikshit Maharaj, we say that, well, things have got a lot worse in the last 30 years, but day by day there is a decline in dharma, satya, truthfulness, we could say, cleanliness, tolerance, kshama, daya, mercy, lifespan, bodily strength, and mental strength. Especially the power of memory is mentioned here. So day by day, these are decreasing, so that we see that even in India, the general lifestyle of people is not conducive to Krishna consciousness. And what to speak of in the Western countries? Well, that's the problem. In India's following the Western pattern, where the lifestyle is simply based on organization for gross sense gratification. And the whole tenor of society is it militates against high thinking, or even any kind of philosophical thinking. Though the buildings are big, the organization is big, everything looks very sophisticated, but the consciousness of the people is very low, or very, very small, not expanded consciousness, not udaradhi, but very constricted consciousness. The udaradhi is one end of the spectrum, and the other, when one is considering the universality, and the other end is ahammamati, just thinking about me and myself. So in modern society, it increases consciousness of me and myself. When one thinks of sense gratification, which is necessary to be promoted, gross sense gratification is necessary to be promoted in the consumer society. So when one thinks of I, me, and myself, then he comes to the platform of the lowest animals. Even the ants, they cooperate with each other. But in the grossly sense gratificatory society, that when one is thinking of one's own sense gratification, then one cares little for others and is simply concerned with oneself more and more and more. And the consciousness becomes very small as one thinks of oneself, one senses, and one has very little thought of what is the purpose of life, what is the nature of life. So Srila Prabhupada, seeing this, and in so many ways, in the modern society, it spoils all higher consciousness, or even what would be considered normal human consciousness. What was even 100 years ago considered very wrong is now become normal, accepted, and promoted as good. For instance, having unmarried mothers. Now that's being promoted in India. In the West, it's completely normal. If you see a woman with a child in the West, you don't presume that there's a husband. It's not presumed. It's maybe they have, maybe they don't. Maybe they had. Maybe they will have. Maybe they'll marry their boyfriend at some point in time. But it's not considered very important. 100 years ago, homosexuality was considered wrong. Now, to say anything against homosexuality is legally punishable. So the society has changed toward that of sense gratification without responsibility. There's not that in former society there's no sense gratification, but within limits, religiously defined limits, and with responsibility. You have to take responsibility for your actions. So that has all changed. And with the factory-based, industrial-based society, joint family became unnecessary and obsolete, and then it came down to the nuclear family. That's the hum do hamari do, is the nuclear family. And then the next development, or not evolution but devolution, is sab aapka mobile jarasaban kisi. Thank you. Everyone, please turn off your mobile. Every lecture has to be interrupted for this. So, it's gone from the joint family where there are many people caring for each other to the nuclear family. And now in a family with electricity and then motorbikes and mobility and all kinds of entertainments, TV, internet, computers, so many things that the family doesn't, and then food you just buy at the Subway or McDonald's or something, or you get something out of the fridge and stick it in the microwave. So there's no real need of any family. The families, they live together, but there's no real need of being. It's just a social and economic arrangement. And seeing that that's not necessary, well, then there's no need of even hamdo hamari dog. There's only me ek hoon, that's all. I'm alone by myself. And that's what it's coming to more and more. That's already there in the West. As I was staying in an apartment in Helsinki, the capital of Finland, which is kept, our devotees have that apartment. Very small apartment, just a one small room with two tiny rooms on the side. One room is the bathroom and the other side is what is called a kitchenette. It's not for cooking in, but it's just like for making coffee or something like that. Our devotees don't make coffee, but there's a whole big building full of these apartments which are meant for single people. And people, they live single throughout their life. They have their boyfriend or their girlfriend, or maybe both, a boyfriend and a girlfriend, who sometimes they go to their place, or sometimes they bring them to their place to indulge in their what they keep a boyfriend or girlfriend for. And eating is outside, laundry is outside, and there's no need of living with anyone, except maybe a cat or a dog. And that's it, and that's the life. And people are miserable, completely miserable. But they call this progress. So just the individuals have become consumers, that's all. It's interesting, this word, bhog, which is the word for consumption or material enjoyment, that is the demoniac propensity. We say the consumer society. If we could translate that in Hindi or Sanskrit, you would say that's the what bhogi, or bhogi means who is the enjoyer. So we could say the bhog, or how do you say that? Bhungtva, bhogta. Well, bhogta also means bhogi. Anyway, it's the very word which Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, which typifies the demons, Ishvaroham aham bhogi, these two symptoms of thinking I am the controller and I am the enjoyer. Well, that is the very definition of modern society, consumer society. Bhogta samajya, bhogi. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to, seeing this situation, is not favorable in any, not even for material well-being, either physical, mental, psychological, emotional, in any way. It's not good. What to speak of spiritual? So Srila Prabhupada had this scheme to bring people to the land and live simply. And chant Hare Krishna and have schools, grow your own food. It's revolutionary. Revolution means to come back to the original point. So that was Srila Prabhupada's plan, and unfortunately his followers to a large extent forgot that, because it's a lot easier not to do that. It seems easier. As a religious organization, we can raise funds on the basis of being a religious organization. And then we can live comfortably in temples. And what need is there for this grandiose schemes of making farms and living simply? What's the point? I mean, money's coming in and we're chanting Hare Krishna, so what's the need? Well, the need is for our own consciousness to... Well, one reason is because Srila Prabhupada said to do it, so we should do it. Another reason is that Srila Prabhupada didn't come to this world simply to build a few more temples. There are already so many temples. And make a comfortable life for a few people in a few temples. But he wanted to fulfill Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction that the whole world can take to Krishna consciousness. But we see that in the modern society, people are not much inclined to that. This high philosophy of Krishna consciousness, people can't think in a high way because they're just thinking of their tongue, belly and genitals, and that's their whole life. And they're full of anxiety how to get money to support the functions of their tongue, belly and genitals throughout their life. And they're in very low consciousness, in the lower modes of nature. So it's difficult to get people to come to the understanding of this high philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And even if they do take to it, then the way of life in the modern world is just punishing, that you have to work so hard just to maintain the what are called the basic necessities. In modern life, the basic necessity, you have to have some means of transport, you have to pay the electricity bills, the water bills. Nowadays we think of it as normal to have a water bill. Who could have imagined in the past paying for water? And then we're just waiting for them to pay for the air bill. How many breaths have you made? So you have to pay the tax for that. The land you live on yourself, even if you supposedly own it, you have to pay tax on it. So that what happens often in America and some other countries is people spend their whole life paying off the building. They buy a house, they spend their whole life paying for it, then they retire, but the tax on the house is so high that they can't afford to live in it because they're not earning anymore. So they have to give it up. Karapirita, that's described in Bhagavatam, that in Kali Yuga, one symptom of people is that they become oppressed by taxes. There are so many taxes. Matches, you have to pay taxes on a box of matches, on everything. Taxes, everything is taxed. If you work, you're taxed. If you buy anything, you're taxed. If you die, you're taxed. You see. They take away huge, I don't know about in this country, but in the West, in many countries, dying is, of course you lose everything when you die, but the government makes sure that they don't lose. So in this way, the government, they have top-heavy taxation, and the government is just a bunch of thieves, as is also stated in the Bhagavatam, Prajastu bhakshishyanti. They're also consuming the citizens. Mlecha rajanya rupina. The mlechas, low-class people, have taken the position of Raja. Raja is supposed to be like a father to the people, nourishing them, but instead of nourishing them, they're draining every last drop of blood out of them. And then even when they get, in some countries, even they don't arrange to, when they've drained the blood out of them, they're totally sick, then they can't pay for any medical treatment, and the government won't help them at all. That's still going on in some countries, including this country. They do have, theoretically, medical treatment for everyone, but really you have to pay if you want anything more than quarter decent. So people are harassed in anxiety. They're not able to think of the higher purpose of life. So this simple living is required for high thinking. If there's a complex lifestyle, the complex lifestyle trains it programs the consciousness in such a way that one cannot think of the higher purpose of life. And the complex lifestyle is only necessary for sense gratification. If one is thinking of it's only developed for sense gratification, because people who are focused on the higher purpose of life, they're not interested in what's the point of having all this wealth and gadgets and so many. There's no use. What's the purpose? They're not attracted to that. They've no inclination toward that. Srila Prabhupada told the story of one Brahmana in Bengal near to Krishnanagar, and the king of that area, the Raja, had heard of him, so he'd heard he's spiritually advanced person, so the Raja went to see him, and the Raja saw he's just in some very simple hut, and so the Raja thought, what do you want? I can give you something. No, I don't want anything. No, I'll give you something. I'll arrange. Said, no, don't disturb that. How are you living? So my disciples, I teach them, and they go every morning. They go out and beg some rice, and we take some leaves from the tree, and we cook it, and we go on like that. There are so many examples. Vedanta Deshika, the king wanted to give him something. He refused. The king dropped some gold coins, and Vedanta Deshika threw them out. There's so many examples. Gorky Shodas Babaji Maharaj, the Kashim Bazar Raja was beseeching him, you come to my palace one time just to purify. Gorky Shodas said, well, if I go there, it'll be very dangerous. I might desire to take it over from you. And so he said that I might get infected by material desire. And you see, of course, he's a powerful vairagi, so maybe he was hinting like that he could take it over by his yogic power. So he told the king said, I just want to have your association. So the Gorky Shodas said, very good, all right, so you just stay here, there's no need for you to ever go back to your palace, you can just stay here with me. So there's so many examples like this. So the transcendentalists, then they're not interested in Sri Aishwarya Prajapshita. This is mentioned in Bhagavatam. The materialistic and Prabhupada mentions in the purport that materialistic people, they like to be surrounded by beautiful, well-dressed, well-ornamented women, even if they're so old that they can't enjoy them, but they just like to see them, to have them around, and then it's prestigious also. So they're interested in wealth, money, women, fine clothing, all these things. But transcendentalists, they're not interested in this. They may bring money, fine clothes, good food, beautiful building, all for Krishna. They dress Krishna in very nice clothes, and a beautiful woman, most beautiful woman, is with him, Shrimati Radharani. Give them very nice food. So for this they may do, but for themselves they're not interested in all these unnecessary development. You have to put so much energy into all this. But transcendentalists, they want to put their energy into the really important purpose of life. We see here that devotees are planning to come here and leave their city jobs, where they may have some important post in some company, they're doing some important job, and then they come to here to the field. It's not even a village. And then what important thing you left all that? What important thing are you going to do here? We're going to chant Hare Krishna. That's more important than anything. Nothing else actually has any importance than this. People who are in ignorance and illusion, they cannot understand this at all. But enlightened persons, they understand that life is meant for God realization. Jivasya tattva jignasa. We should inquire. Life is meant for inquiring into reality. Fortunately, we have not only the inquiry, but by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, he gave us the answer also, which is to chant the holy names of Krishna. So that's the important thing. That's more important than anything. Sanatana Goswami had the most valuable thing. And he also had a touchstone which can turn anything to gold. That he considered that not very important. That was in the garbage. And he had the most important. He was sitting without any gold or any such thing. Even though the touchstone was there which could produce any amount of wealth, but he was simply chanting the holy names of Krishna, understanding that everything in this world is meaningless and temporary. Smaran nityam anityatvam. Always remember, everything in this world is temporary. So everything, I mean, it's even if you think, well, I'll become a big sannyasi, GBC, guru, famous preacher, famous book distributor, whatever it may be. It's all temporary. It'll all be forgotten in time. What does it matter? What matters is our relationship with Krishna. That we should make the focus of our life. And nothing else has any meaning. Jivasya tattva jigyasa neha yas cheha karma bihi. There's no other purpose to our works. Labdva sudurlabham idang bahu sambhavante manusham arthitam anityam apihadhira turnam yateta napate danumritya yavan nisriyasaya Vishaya kalu sarvatasyat. We've got this human form of life. After many, many births, it's rarely achieved, but now we have it. So now, having attained this life, we should do whatever is required so that we don't get born again. We've been born so many times. Now, not to get born again. That should be the Christians talk about being born again. But our motive of life is how not to get born again, how to go to Krishna. Not interested in sense gratification, which is available in any form of life. So live here simply, chant Hare Krishna, and actually there is better sense gratification. happier life. All this anxiety of running around, I have to go here, I have to go there. Just slow down. People like to come from the city to the country and take a little rest and relax so they can go back with more energy to struggle in the rat race and get ahead or at least survive. No, there's no need. There's no need to be in the rat race. No need. You don't have to be a rat. It can be living simply, chanting Hare Krishna. What we often see is that our devotees, they come to the land with the idea of living simply, but because there's so much in Rajog, there's so much influenced by this Rajasic culture, they have this idea, okay, we got a little land, we'll get more land and we'll produce more and we'll do this and we'll do that, and they don't get the idea that you just sit down, relax, chant Hare Krishna. You don't have to expand and get in more, take a loan, buy more land, and we don't have enough people to work it. Okay, so we'll work 15 hours a day. And I've seen this in various farms that have all this idea. We're going to do this project, another project. Just calm down. calm down, be thoughtful, be thoughtful. We can spend time, instead of spending time making this project, that project. Of course, different projects can be taken up if more people come. But our real project is to chant Hare Krishna, study Srimad Bhagavatam, discuss the topics of Shastra, worship Krishna, live with the devotees. This is our real project. There's no need of do this, do that, break this, we build something, break it, build something else, and then after another year or two, break that again. No need. Our real purpose of life, as Srila Prabhupada often said, is to become mad after Krishna. Just like the six Goswamis. He Radhe Vrajadevi Ke Chalalite He Nanda Sunakata Sri Govardhana Kalpa Pada Patale Kalindi Vanye Kuta Ghoshantaviti Saravato Rajapure Kedair Mahavivalo Vande Rupa Sanatano Raghu Yago Sri Jiva Gopalako. The six Goswamis, they were running around in Vrindavan, calling out, Radhe, oh, hey Radhe, hey Vrajade, where all the gopis, oh Lalita, oh Krishna, where are you? Are you on the forest, on the Govardhan, or on the banks of the Yamuna? So like this, they were running around, calling out here and there in their madness. They're mad after Krishna. Of course, they also sat down and wrote so many important books, but this mood, feelings for Krishna, that gave them the energy, the feeling for Krishna, that they want to contribute to human society. They had their love for Krishna, their natural propensity of love for Krishna was fully awakened. But they also, for the benefit of human society, nana shastra vichara naika nipuno sadharma samsthapako lokanam hitakarino, for the benefit of all of human society, they studied so many shastras, compiled so many books, just to benefit the people who are forgetful of Krishna. So on one hand, we come here to live peacefully, to calm down, but at the same time, it's not calming. This is calming down is not for another phase of sense gratification. It's not that we're just going to come here and live peacefully and enjoy living peacefully, but we have service to do to Krishna, important service to do to Krishna. Maybe 2 years ago in America, I was taking prasadam with a god brother of mine in ISKCON Berkeley. You know that temple very well, ISKCON Berkeley.
I just came from there.
Yeah, California. Yeah. So I was sitting and taking prasadam with Amogha Leela Prabhu. Anyway, I'll tell you that he's living on his, he has a little farm out in the country there. So he told me that there'd been like some politics in the temple, and he was getting involved, and he's on his farm, and they're calling him all the time. You know, you have to get involved. You have to do your bit. Hold the flag, and you know, go on the march, and stand up for your rights, and all this thing. And then at one point he thought, he was thinking, yeah, I have to do this. This is important. But then he thought, well, you know, I've got other important things to do. You see, I have to weed the garden and water the plants and chant Hare Krishna to the plants so they grow nicely. This is very important. It's more important than getting involved in all the temple politics. This is my service to Krishna. Someone else, they can, you know, sarve yudhe visharada, says in Bhagavad Gita, that everyone's expert in fighting. So someone should do that. Shrayan swadharmo viguna paradharmat svanushtitat. Everyone should do their own allotted service. So I've taken up this service of growing the plants for Krishna, living simply, how it's showing how you can live simply. Where there's a temple, it's likely there's going to be some kind of something like this, because wherever there's, in Kali Yuga, wherever there's money, that's Parikshit Maharaj gave Kali the place. You can stay wherever there is gold. Nowadays, there's not much gold anywhere, but there's the gold is manifest as money. So it's likely that it just has that effect, especially in Kali Yuga. It has the effect of polluting people's minds. Doesn't have to, but in many cases it does. So he told me that I just realize I don't have to get involved in all this. If I don't get involved in it anyway, it's not, you know, if I die tomorrow, life will go on. It's not like, you know, I have to be involved, otherwise there's no hope for anything, as quoting a fairly famous lecture of two generations ago. Actually, he was very famous, but now no one's heard of him outside of France and a few historians. Charles de Gaulle, the famous leader of France, he said a very good thing, actually, that the graveyards are full of indispensable men. How to say indispensable in Hindi? I don't know. You can think of it. Mahatvapurna? No. Jinke upastiti jarur hai. Avashak. Jinke anupastiti mein kuch bhi nahi ho sakte. You have to think of one word like that. So the great people think indispensable. Without them, things can't go on, but life goes on. Any one of us, if we were to pass away, things would go on. If the husband dies young, the wife somehow, they go on, they pull on. If the guru passes away, and then others go on with their work. No one is indispensable. Of course, guru in a different sense, because he remains by his instruction, so we shouldn't think he's died. But this feeling that, you know, there's so many important things to do. This is important. Sit peacefully. Chant Hare Krishna. That is preaching. We shouldn't think it's not preaching. Showing people that you can actually live without ulcers, BP, unnecessarily getting angry, and purchasing all kinds of things all the time that you don't really need. It is possible to live without a cell phone, without electricity. How can you live without electricity? Well, what were your grandparents and all the generations before doing? How did they live? They must have been primitive. That's what we think. Well, how primitive was Vyasadeva? Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya. Look at the level of their thought. Yesterday we were reading, or listening to the reading of Madhva's teachings, some of Madhva's teachings as received through his parampara, and it was mostly just being read. And our devotees, they were, you know, even though they've read Prabhupada's books and this and that, and it was. In simple language, and the concepts are also not that difficult, but our devotees were getting lost. So these were intelligent people. Actually, the modern society, it makes people dull-headed and stupid. Everything about it. Just like this, you see, there was at one time, as India is aping the Western culture, anyway, it goes by the word culture. There was a time when there were in the Western world, there was a higher music, and then for the simple people, there was some folk music, and then so many different forms of music developed, and then electronic music developed with, and then there was rock and roll, rhythm and blues, and then rock and roll, and then rock music and heavy. You know those machines they have for breaking the road? It sounds somewhat similar. And and now they have something which sounds what they call music, and you hear it. I've heard it the last few nights. They play it at night because it's like Rakshasa style music. Really? Really? So it's just like boom, boom. Sounds like someone hitting you on the head with a hammer. And it actually gives that effect of a headache. And that's called music. So you can see how people's consciousness is coming down. They become less intelligent. I mean, even the folk songs, and there would be some poetry, and in many cases there was some kind of thinking about it. There was some kind of something resembling some kind of philosophical thoughts. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. How many years? Well, I don't know. How many years can a mountain exist before it? I can't remember exactly. Before it falls to the ground. So many things. How many times must a cannonball fly before they are forever banned? And like this, it's Bob Dylan, something of a philosopher. Something. But now it's this boom, 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 boom. And it goes on all night. I mean, I hear it. They don't change the rhythm. It's just like that. On and on and on. So, I mean, there's just one example of how everything in the society makes you dull. The food, rotten food, no one eats fresh food. No one even knows what fresh food tastes like because they never get it. They say, fresh, I just got it from the bazaar. But in the bazaar means it's already a few hours old. Fresh means you cut it, cook it, offer it to Krishna and honor it. That's fresh. They don't know what the milk is full of all chemical. It's full of all poisons and chemicals, and it affects the physical and mental function. So everything about this society turns us into not even, if you say animals, well, there are some kind of nice animals, but it's like vicious animals and nasty animals and the lowest kind of animals. So it's a preaching to show that just live simply and cultivate higher understanding of what is the purpose of life. Cultivate this understanding. Everything here is temporary, but beyond this temporary world, there is Krishna. There is the spiritual world. We're meant to live there. Everything there is sweet, as we just sung. Everything about Krishna is sweet. We are meant for that world. We're not meant for this nasty world. So that's preaching also. How devotees can live with very peacefully together and actually be friends with you. Nowadays you don't have friends because you're moving. In Bombay recently I gave a class. Two of my godbrothers from America were there. And I asked them both, how many residences have you lived in your life? I was expecting both of them to say 6 or 7. Both of them said, I can't really count them all. They've moved so many times in their life. They're grihasthas, but they've moved so many times. They it's difficult for them even to think of how many places they've lived in. So then you're moving around. You don't have any permanent friends, and then you'd rather be with a machine than a friend anyway. And friend now means Facebook. That's a friend. That's what they call a friend. It's you don't real deep relationships where you know people very well. You're prepared to you give You can help them, they give and help you, and it's not like measured, okay, I did this much, now you owe me that much. Not that. It's not a business exchange. That should be cultivated in Krishna consciousness. So to show people how, although life in this material world is nasty, it doesn't have to be so nasty. And cultivate the value of Krishna consciousness, to come here and discuss, as people did until recently in this country. Everyone knew, in North India, everyone knew Ramayana, or Ramlila. Everyone knew it, although most people were illiterate. But they knew Ramlila because they heard it, so I'm talking about Ramcharitmanas. That was the Hindi version. But more or less everyone knew it because they heard it so many times, and it's part of this in the language that people would speak, that they'd quote like sayings from this. So everyone was completely aware of this, and by hearing the Ram Leela over and over again, there were, the consciousness of Ram was just like the air. It's there. So that many people, of course I didn't see that, but in old age, what would they do? They would just chant the holy names, because that's what you do. I mean, what else is there to do? It came naturally to them. They chant the holy name, either living at home, or they might go and live in an ashram. It'd just be a very natural thing to do. That, okay, I worked all my life. Work all your life doesn't mean work like an animal. But in the morning, everyone would rise early and then do some puja, pat, jap, dhyan, something. And then in the evening, they'd hear Ram Leela, and in the daytime also, in the hot of the summer, in the heat. So working meant a little bit, and they hear about the pastimes of Krishna and Rama, chant the holy names. That was the culture. Not that everyone was a Paramahamsa by any means, but the culture was such that it was saturated with God consciousness. So to re-establish this, that the real value of life is not to get a job, a good job, and earn lots of money. The real purpose of life, the real meaning of life, is to be absorbed in Krishna. So this setting is meant to foster that consciousness of Krishna, known as Krishna consciousness, and just let people see how nice is that way of life. So it's a big challenge to do this, no doubt. In the complex society, to do this simple thing becomes difficult. And there may be so much opposition from everyone, because everyone says, oh no, if you don't train the children how to get a job, then, oh, you're cheating them, you're mistreating them. Maybe the government will take away your children and forcibly send them to a school. Maybe not in this country yet. But in other countries, they can do that. They make the school curriculum that you have to train them. You're forced by law to train your children to become stupid and demons. And they have to learn about all kinds of stupid things, like the batting averages of cricketers, and what's the latest serial on TV. And these are the kind of things they have to. They get marks in their exam in the school. The governments are making the people lower than animals. So we want to present a different culture, a whole different approach to life. It'll be difficult because everyone will be against that. We can expect that. Yes. Most people, even our own devotees, they'll think, why are you doing that? You should train your children so they can make money, because how can you live without money? But our outlook is, how can we live without Krishna? It's not that money comes first and Krishna comes second. First of all, get the money, then maybe we can think of Krishna. But our outlook is, with faith in Krishna, ananyas chintayanto mang ye janah paryupasate te sham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. That Krishna will look after us. We don't need much. What do we need? We don't need a big palace. We don't need fancy food. Just whatever is required. Yavan artha prayojanam. Whatever is required for our existence, that's all right. That's enough. And our real happiness is in hearing and chanting about Krishna. So, yeah, you can bring the children here, teach them about Krishna. You don't have to give them any heavy educational program that they have to learn so much in so much time. Drill them. That's not required. Let them be happy. Krishna consciousness means to be happy. So they can hear about Krishna, they can learn the stories about Krishna, learn shlokas, learn to have kirtan, and they can have some little arithmetic, and not much required. Language, yeah, they could learn. Sanskrit is nice. Hindi, Gujarati, they can learn these. Maybe English. But English opens the door to so many bad things. But nowadays also, Hindi, Gujarati, all the everything's polluted in the whole world. So the Hindi movies are not conducive for spiritual advancement. So, yeah, live happily, simply. Be content with what Krishna has given. That is the purpose of coming here. You hear the children screaming a bit in the background. The birds are chirping. The wind on the microphone. Simple living and high thinking, they go well together. Whereas complex living makes for stupid minds. That we see. So Prabhupada had this plan to change people's lifestyle. Change it to a way of life that is more conducive to Krishna consciousness. So let's do that. Now already some start has been made by devotees, disciples of mine and others near Hyderabad in Andhra Pradesh. Now here also, the farming part, there's no plan for that right now, but the Gurukul part is very much planned. And in Tamil Nadu also that's planned. Gurukul is to start soon also in Salem. So we have to pray for the mercy of Krishna, study Srila Prabhupada's teachings, pray for his mercy that we can do this. Because in our ISKCON, this has been tried before, according to Srila Prabhupada's plan, but for various reasons, most of our attempts to develop Gurukuls and farms have not gone very well, and so many of our devotees are skeptical about that. But Srila Prabhupada quoted the saying, failure is the pillar of success. So we could look and see the problems that have come up in the past and make the necessary adjustments so that can be successful. Yeah, any question? please. If not, we can chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Yeah. Yeah, it's like become a standard saying at the end of the class now. Thank you for the wonderful class. It should be wonderful because Krishna is wonderful. So I'm in favor of not having this standard ending to the class. I guess it's polite, but I often ask them, and they say, thank you for the wonderful class. And I say, well, what was wonderful? And then they're trying to think. They just say it as a ritual. So. Prabhupada said 50% of my work is not done, and he wanted to set up the Varnashram communities to show that. And if you consider what he did, and if you say there's 50% more to do, it's a lot. We were quite confident when Prabhupada was present that we could do anything. But we didn't realize the value of Prabhupada's personal presence. Prabhupada said, well, if you can't expand the movement, at least maintain it. I mean, devotees thought, yeah, well, easy. We didn't realize how much we depended on Prabhupada's personal presence, actually. So, yeah, what did you want to say apart from that? Mm. Yeah. And my question is that often devotees should plug into mainstream society. That's often preached. Well, that can be there also. It's not that we're going to neglect what we call the mainstream society. Although we know that the mainstream society, that stream is not going toward Krishna. It's going to hell. So we should be very careful about plugging into the mainstream. Get high positions, get good education. Yeah. The thing is, to get a high position, you have to be really into it. Those who get high positions, they get it because they're really competitive and backstabbing, and they believe in the values of that society. So the idea that we should, and to get a high position, you really have to, you know, you really have to dedicate, put your time and your energy and study and make contacts and friends, and it takes up all your time. And then where's the Krishna consciousness? Apart from the fact that you have to really associate thickly with totally materialistic people, which means you have to adopt their consciousness to a large extent, then even if you're not gunning for the top, even if you're not really trying to be the top, you're just trying to survive in modern society, then you have to spend so much time, put in so many hours, and then where's the time for Krishna consciousness? For Krishna consciousness, it requires at least several hours a day for quality hearing and chanting about Krishna. But I see many of our devotees who are in the secular world. For them, somehow or other, they manage to get through 16 rounds, including when they're driving, and somehow or other, you know, some are on their clicking machine, click, 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 click. And there's no real quality hearing and chanting, which is required daily if we're going to be Krishna conscious, especially in such an unfavorable environment as the modern rat race world. So this idea that our devotees should get ahead and set the example, I'm somewhat skeptical about that, because unless one's very strongly fixed in Krishna consciousness, you're likely to become a victim of that consciousness rather than someone who's setting a good example to others. So I'm not saying that people can't be in corporate life or secular life and be devotees, but this was Prabhupada's plan. This was his main plan. Prabhupada said you can be also, but Prabhupada's main plan was the farms and the simple living. That was so you can have them be in mainstream society, but we should know that Prabhupada's main thrust was this. So I don't think we should make the main thrust something else. The main thrust is this, this preaching to show people a better way of life, that we don't need we don't need this whole society. We're not dependent upon this society. So it's not totally rejected, but definitely the main thrust of Prabhupada's preaching was the revolutionary farm communities, rather than blend into normal society and become part of it. I don't know how many devotees are actually preaching and influencing others' lives by doing that. I don't know. If they can survive. I see most of our devotees who go to secular life, their standards go, or they don't have very high standards. And the problem is when you start thinking that culture is normal, you get in a lot of trouble, because it's, like I say, it's a very low society where sense gratification is the goal. So that may also be there, what they call living in the mainstream and preaching within it. That may also be there. But even the preacher, even if people take to it, it's the way the secular society is set up. At best, they're only going to have very little time for Krishna consciousness anyway, even if they do become devotees. And how are you going to understand this philosophy? It takes time, and this whole approach to life, it takes time to absorb these messages. Yeah. Yesterday I said, to put it in simple English, going to villages, yeah. Foreign devotees, yeah. I'm just repeating, I can hear you, but the others can't, so. Preaching in the farm like this, yeah. What should be given more prominence at this point? All the programs should be given prominence. Definitely we should give prominence to things that Prabhupada gave prominence to, which he always gave prominence to: book distribution. The two things that Prabhupada gave prominence to were book distribution and farm communities. And he also gave a lot of importance to preaching among scientists, Gurukuls. He said everything was important. It's not that anything's unimportant. Prasadam distribution, restaurants, Harinam Sankirtan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's original program. They're all important. We can't say any of them are unimportant. Padyatra, the term Padyatra came later. I mean, it's not a term that was invented by devotees. It's others. I mean, the term Padyatra, we should say Sankirtan Padyatra. Otherwise, there are so many political Padyatras. So that was Prabhupada's idea. Go village to village with the bullock carts. So all the programs are important. They should all be done. Do something. Take up at least one of them. Don't be lazy. Anything else? All right, well, let's chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.